Hi, and welcome to this week's Three Legs, Four Wheels F1 podcast. It's Paul here, a bit late, with...
Chris.
Lee, I think.
We seem to remember it's Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got to put a name tag on him.
No Dan this week, I'm afraid. Dan can't make it.
But we have got podcast.
We do have podcast, yeah. Apologies for being absent last week. I was not able to make it, and even if I was able to make it, I wouldn't have been able to say very much. I had a very swollen mouth, it was quite sore.
You wouldn't want to see the other guy.
I hope you Jack feel nerving already, only 2 minutes in.
Oh dear. It's like last day of term or first day back or something. Chris, you've got a running order.
Well, it's the first day of the summer holidays, isn't it, for Formula One fans?
Yeah, I suppose it is.
Not really, but yeah.
It's awful. The summer break is worse than the off season. It's horrible.
Yeah, we don't like it really, do
no.
we?
No.
Let's have a brief look back at Hungary, because we should have really podcasted last week when the most exciting race of the season had just happened. An awful lot happened, but let's not go too in depth, because it was over a week ago now and everybody's gotten over.
Bad start, penalties, collisions, more penalties, bad restart, safety car. More penalties.
Tyre choices.
Pastor Maldonado.
Lots of Maldonado. Doing wrong things.
Yeah.
All the time. Everywhere.
Do you think Rosberg threw his chance away at a title challenge in Hungary?
Yes and no. Both. But I know why he was pushing hard, because he's always been accused of being too passive and not aggressive enough. So he had to show.
That game on Ferrari was passive aggressive.
That was just ridiculous. Game on Ferrari.
It was
creepy. Yeah, it was. It was just like, if he was a porcelain doll, it would have been less creepy.
You could just imagine, like, one hand in his overalls. Gently caressing himself. Game on, Ferrari.
Oh, no.
No, please.
That's two Jack Villeneuves already. We're only 5 minutes in.
I've got to edit this.
Yeah. Rosberg, he was trying to be the aggressor, and Daniel Ricciardo, even though he didn't have the position as such, didn't have to move out of the way. And it's a difficult one. Racing incident, perhaps, but Rosberg should have been more careful.
It was a Maldonado move.
Even if he had lost position or wasn't able to hold position for that lap against Ricciardo, he would have still had a couple of other laps to give it a go. Mm-hmm. And a third place in closing the gap to Hamilton to what might have been like three, 4 points would be a lot better than what actually happened, and Hamilton eventually extending his lead to over 20 points, which is really not Rosberg wanted.
If Rosberg hadn't took him out, I think that Ricciardo would have won the race.
Quite possibly, yeah, because Ricciardo had to stop again, didn't he? Did he have to stop again for a wing after that?
Yeah, he had to stop again for a wing. But I think the thing was that
it was the most disappointed third place I've ever seen Daniel Ricciardo have. He wasn't happy to finish third.
He wasn't third, was he?
Was he second?
No,
he was third, wasn't he? He was third.
No, Kvyat was third.
No, Kvyat was second.
Oh, sorry, he was third. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, because Kvyat was behind, and then Ricciardo had to stop for a wing.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
You see what happens when we miss a week?
That's it, it's been a week. It's fine. But no,
I'm just not used to seeing Kvyat on the podium.
No,
because it's never happened before.
Exactly. as far as Rosberg goes, I think there's a... Every time he's in an interview, he'll say, I just need luck to go my way, I need to have a good weekend, and I need Lewis to have a couple of troubles somewhere along the line. Lewis had troubles, and he didn't capitalise on it.
Yeah, was it John who said about Rosberg being his own worst enemy?
Yeah.
On your Facebook?
Yes.
Yeah,
I think that probably sums it up. I think, yes, that was him losing any chance of the title, because he choked.
Yeah.
And he will forever be known as a choker.
Yeah, if it's...
Are we back to talk about gonorrhea of the throat?
Almost.
You said it, baby.
The next two races are pivotal.
The next one's Belgium.
Yes.
I don't know where pivotal is.
It's a secret place.
Ah, right.
Not my secret place, just a secret place.
Is it Nico's secret place?
We'll find out, won't we? Before you leave Europe in Formula One season nowadays, you've got a pretty good idea of who's going to be, you know, leading or winning the championship, who's going to be in the fight for the championship. Yeah. If Lewis Hamilton manages to finish ahead of Nico Rosberg in both Belgium and Italy before they go off to Singapore, he'll be over 30 points, roughly 30 points-ish, depending on the positions, ahead of Nico Rosberg going to the flyaway races.
Mm.
Now, you've got Singapore, and then do they come back to Russia, or is it Russia and then Singapore? I get confused.
I slept through the Russian Grand Prix last year, so I couldn't tell you when it was.
Anyway, you've got a few races that, you know, you've to sort of try and claw that back. He's desperately going to have to rely on a Hamilton failure to even put himself back into contention. Mm-hmm. If Hamilton is more than a race win's worth of points away, the psychological grasp that puts for Hamilton over Nico Rosberg is massive. And I mean, with what happened in Hungary, Sebastian Vettel's not out of it. He's only was it 20 something points behind Rosberg?
When we started doing the podcast and we put our predictions in, I think I thought Sebastian was going to win the world championship, and I don't think that prediction's off yet.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's off. It's definitely not off the cards. He has said this week he's going to try and make the impossible possible, which I think is a Honda line.
Well, they made the impossible possible, double points finish.
They did, and Alonso finished fifth. How the hell did that happen?
Because he's named his new engine after the world where Dungeons and Dragons is set, apparently.
Well, if it works, carry on naming your engine stupid names.
And Jensen's is called Erica.
Okay.
Yeah, Fernando's is called Greyhawk.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
But it's only along the same lines as Vettel's chassis, isn't it? Kinky Kylie and
Dirty Kate or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, no one's asked what his Ferrari's called.
Probably the unnameable, the unspeakable word.
I'm pretty sure I've got a good idea what the McLarens are called.
Yeah.
Well, the last that you find at the chippy when you're desperate at 3 a.m. after kicking out time.
That brick comes to mind.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see at Spa where the Ferraris are, because they should have had a 1-2 in Hungary on pace.
Yeah, they should have known. It was
they
unfortunate.
Were so fast.
It was unfortunate for Raikkonen. I mean, even when they came in and restarted his car and sent him back out.
Yeah.
Turned it off and back on again.
Yeah, they did an IT restart, yeah.
While we're on the subject of Kimi, he's saying that he's still valid and still has things to offer and doesn't want to leave Ferrari, but I don't. That decision is well out of his hands.
I think it's out of his hands.
It wasn't that long ago I was saying that Kimi Raikkonen was doing well enough to replace himself at Ferrari. It's not been the case ever since I said that. It's just he's been off in Kimi land.
If you sort of make a statement about how terrible he is, he'll go and win the next three races.
Possibly. I mean, well, to be perfectly honest, if there's anywhere for Kimi to go to try and make up for things after having, you know, a bad weekend in Hungary, it's Spa, isn't it?
He normally does quite well in Spa, yeah. It'd be good to see. Was it 2007 or 2008 where he had the battle with Lewis Hamilton in the rain, when the rain came down with 2 laps to go,
neither
of them wanted to pit.
Yeah.
But then they both got disqualified, bizarrely, or something.
Something happened. I can't remember.
It was the stupidest result in the world. But
what a race result being decided by the stewards. God, you never say that.
No, I know, yeah, exactly. But the Hungarian Grand Prix threw up a lot of questions for the second half of the season, which is good. It is good. I mean, nothing's dead cert.
Yeah, one of those is, why is Maldonado still in F1?
I'm going to combat my speeding through the pit lane by speeding through the pit lane.
Two wrongs makes you shite.
Luckily, that one actually worked. can we get a drug test in over here, please?
there's a couple of new rules as well, isn't there, coming in for Belgium. Start procedure thing.
Yeah, clutch biting point has to be set before the car leaves the pits, so it can't be adjustable.
Right.
Because normally they adjust it on after the installation and formation lap.
Yeah, we saw it in Hungary where they were testing the clutch bite point in the Parc Fermé after qualifying.
Yeah. Because that was the last chance they had to do that, because obviously the cars are locked down now for the next 4 weeks, 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's it.
Although Toro Rosso have had practice with that because they had an official filming day and Max Verstappen got to play about with the new start regulations.
Or was Max the driver filming, was he?
Yeah.
Right, well, yeah, there you go. Maybe we'll see Max Verstappen getting a lightning start. Any kind of weather is possible at Spa, I suppose.
Yeah.
But surely if it made that much of a difference, everyone would be doing a filming day.
Yeah, but
I think they've got to book the filming days in advance.
Yeah,
and I think this was booked before the regulation changes.
They just looked into it.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Cool. Yeah,
and Lewis Hamilton thinks it's going to make a massive difference because he's actually said he thinks his starts will be worse under these new regulations for the first few races.
Probably be worse under that new haircut.
Well, I don't know what that is. I don't know if it was a haircut or if it's trying to make his hair grow back into his head.
Crop circles?
Crop circles.
Hey, it's the only logical explanation.
Hedgehogs running around really, really fast.
And it's coming from Lee, a man who has subscriptions to, well, I don't know how many conspiracy theory channels on his YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
Or does he? Is that just what he wants us to think? I'm just getting all the jokes out of the way now. We missed a week. I've got a build up.
Yeah, why listen to science when you can listen to pseudoscience? I had something to say. It's gone.
That happens to me quite often.
Yeah, it's gone, John.
Yeah, we're just basically filling now until somebody actually looks at the sheet. And
2017 rules.
2017 rules. Yay, 2017. Oh, the other new start rule. No communication from the pit wall to the driver on what anybody else's start technique is or how your start performance is. And the only thing you're allowed to communicate is if there's a serious problem with another car that's going to affect your start.
So are they allowed to relay who is starting on what tyres then? Because they do that before every race. Everybody's starting options except for example, well,
that's going to be knowledge because they will see the cars going round on the installation lap to get to the grid with the tyres on because you've got to do your installation lap on the same tyres that you start the race with.
Yeah, but if you're was it like from 10th backwards, you can choose whatever tyres you want and then they're not necessarily revealed until all the teams are ready to leave the grid. So
yeah, but doesn't that
they're revealed when the cars roll out of the pit to come to the grid.
No, because they can put whatever tyres they want on.
No, I thought they had to do the installation lap on the rest tyres.
They don't usually do that anyway. Usually they do the installation lap on old scrub tyres.
I think anyway the tyres that they're going to be using is going to be common. It's going to be allowed to be broadcast to the drivers because it's broadcast to the viewers.
Yeah.
Or
is it only broadcast to the viewers because it's broadcast to the drivers?
You're making me think.
I know, sorry.
I was going to say something else then that was important, and now my train of thought's been derailed.
Just quickly, it's going back because I'd forgot what I was going to say before. Given the fact that Hamilton and Nico, like they've chose different clutches or something now. You know, they've got different clutches on
different
the car.
Different springs, yeah.
And they both had awful starts in Hungary. They were both bad.
They were both bad at Silverstone. And they were both bad in Hungary as well.
So you can sort of see where Lewis is coming from. You know, if this is going to make it harder all of a sudden, the last thing they need is hard. They need easy.
Yeah.
I've just remembered what I was going to say as well, but
it was
just a bad joke anyway.
Oh, God.
Just wondering whether the drivers are allowed to ask what the weather's like while waiting for the start.
Tell me what the weather's like, man. Weather is good, Lewis.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for that, Pete Bonington. But yeah, the start.
How are Sebastian's hands? Sebastian's hands are soft, Lewis.
Oh dear. You could throw all sorts of weird conversations, couldn't it, between driver and race engineer. But yeah, there's go back to the 2017 rules, there's an Italian animation house has put together an animation, surprisingly, of what the 2017 car will look like in comparison to the current car,
mm-hmm.
Showing quite an interesting, the main point being that the low slung rear wing sort of angled backwards slightly, but a lot lower than the current rear wing.
Kind of looked a bit like Maldonado's when half of it fell off.
Yeah, slightly better.
In better condition.
It looks on purpose. the cars, of course,
look nothing like Maldonado. Yeah. Then
the cars, of course, being slightly wider and of course slightly bigger front wings. After saying a few years ago we need smaller front wings, now we need bigger front wings.
Now they're better, bigger. I've not seen anything written down about this. Are they going to try and make the front wings less complicated with less elements? Because it's getting to the point now where they're sort of stacking about seven or eight elements onto each side of the wing. And the wing assembly looks fragile enough as it is. And we saw cars tripping over their own wings when they fell off. Kimmy's disintegrating.
Force India's nostril snapping.
Force India's nostril snapping.
Doing a Daniela Westbrook.
Are we happy with
that? For our non-British listeners, that was she's an actress who.
Actress.
She played parts in TV shows, and she had a little bit of a hoovering problem, and half her nose fell out.
Yeah, she's had more stuff up it than my Henry in the work van.
Henry's also a maker hoover, by the way. Yeah. vacuum cleaner.
Sorry, I was talking about my slave.
Dyson with death there.
Oh, dear me.
Speaking of Dyson, that sucked and blew at the same time.
That's my joke! I've had my own joke used on me.
Listeners, I'm so sorry. I don't know what's happening.
Dan! He's the one that keeps us sensible.
Dan wasn't even here all the time. How is he so fucking important now? Do we like the new regulations?
I like the way that it looks. I'm more interested in the rear wing because it's the most radical change. There are a slight angle back on the side pods as well.
Did you expect more from the way they've been talking 2017 up and the rule changes? Did you expect more than what seems to be a? I want to say evolution, but it's not really evolution, is it?
Devolution. Don't forget, the rules aren't completely set in stone at the moment.
Also,
so what they've come up with is their interpretation of what the rules sort of imply at the moment, because the FIA being as they are, everything is completely vague until it gets ratified. And then you find out that there's a massive change to... Yeah. Everything that was being previously discussed. You know, we could be sitting here talking about these new slightly more aggressive and faster looking cars, and then it comes to the World Motorsports Council voting on what the new regulations are going to be, and they replace the plank with a concrete block.
I know what you mean.
There's things like that, and also don't forget as well that this is just as Paul's rightfully pointed out, it's their interpretation of how it's going to look using this year's car as a template sort of mod. What you might find is that some designers will go, I don't want that front wing to look like that. Even though I'm allowed to make it bigger, I'm going to do this with it.
Mm-hmm.
And you might end up with something quite radical, like the 2008 McLaren front wing, you know, the split over the nose. You could end up with a whole host of things, but on the car could end up with narrower noses with, and I have heard this rumour, narrower noses with, remember the horrible step from a few years ago?
Duckbill platypus.
Yeah, with the step just in front of where the driver actually sits, there being a step there instead.
I'll be surprised if for next year...
That looks like a Fiat Multipla.
It would, yeah, you're quite right.
But I'll be surprised if for next year that there isn't more cars with Force India's nose.
Nostrils.
Because that seems to have done wonders for that car. And, you know, it's such a...
Well, apart from where it fell off.
Well, yeah.
It's not even their B-spec car yet, is it?
Yeah.
No, Is that the B-spec?
Yeah, is it the B-spec now?
Yeah. See, I've got a problem with the... If that's how it is, I realise we just talk about an interpretation. But I look at Formula One, and it's I'm a fan. I'm a super fan, and it doesn't matter what happens. I look forward to new cars coming out. I look forward to watching the races. I know I'm going to watch Formula One until I stop or it stops. Yeah. One of the two. But I'm also not blind enough to just go ahead and say, oh, everything's brilliant in Formula One, it's fine, because it has a declining fan base. You know, less people watch Formula One every year on television.
But when was the last time it was increasing?
And, I suppose so.
But can you put that down?
To Sky subscriptions.
Yeah, I was going to say, mainly Sky, because they've got it in Germany and Italy, and it's all the pay TV stuff.
Yeah. I think you can put a big thing down to that. But the problem I have with Formula One at the minute is it looks stale to the common, everyday person. Because that's what they need to get. We're always going to watch it. So they need...
We're the ones that are daft enough to pay for it.
Exactly, yeah. But they need the Joe Public that's in a pub to be interested enough to watch a race. You know, or... just for whoever is advertising, knowing that there's that part-timer crowd that their advertisement is getting in front of it. And for me, it needs to look more exciting, because if you take a car from 2007 and one of this year's cars, yeah, they look different, don't get me wrong. But if you stick them... If you mocked a grid up and stuck it there for someone that doesn't really follow Formula One, all they'd see is Formula One cars.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, that's... I think if they want to shake it up and they want to get people more to get back into it, they need kids, or not kids, because I'm not saying that we should market towards children, but Formula One cars need to be poster boy cars again.
I think they still are.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think it's just a case of, you know, the poster cars that we think of. I mean, postcards that I think of are instantly the MP4 for McLaren,
mm-hmm.
The FW14B.
No, but the Mantles. Thing is, if you take
and Formula I'm One, showing the edge and saying a lot of 79.
But if you take Formula One,
great looking Formula One car.
If you take Formula One as being this prototype series, when you look at the cars, they should look like they're from 10 years in the future.
What he's actually trying to say is he's just gutted that the new cars don't have spiked wheels and shark teeth.
They don't.
Sorry, dude.
Shit. It's worse than I thought.
I mean, look at the classic liveries as well. I mean, everybody always remembers the great liveries. The Benson and Hedges Jordan Formula One livery.
Yeah.
Everyone always remembers that.
That's the problem, though, because the great liveries were always cigarette companies, because cigarette companies, and I hate to say it, were spot on with the marketing.
Yeah, but I also think that the Williams Martini livery now will be remembered long after Williams Martini Racing is then something else, you know, like whether they, you know, they sponsor Williams for 10 years or however long. When the sponsorship's over and we're like in wheelchairs in an old folks home, whatever,
yeah.
People will still remember the Williams Martini Racing as a livery, if nothing else.
Yeah, and it's not quite up there with the red and white McLaren or the black and gold JPS Lotus.
Yes, not quite
yet.
Because they were extremely successful cars.
That is true.
I think I was just going to say, I think the only thing that would stop the Williams being there is a world championship.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it had that, there's no doubt in my mind that you'll have...
It's the best looking car on the grid at the moment, is the Williams.
I'd go with that. It's certainly not the McLaren. But
you got longer to look at the McLaren as it's going past.
Yeah, maybe that's why. Yeah.
Familiarity breeds contempt. I think when we do the sort of half-term review next week, I think we'll probably be best served looking at liveries then and who's got it right and who's got it wrong. So I think it gives us a lot of talking points. Not that without a race preview next week, we're going to be desperately trying to fill or anything. Of course,
no, not at all.
I'm looking forward to the half term report, but we're not doing it tonight.
Yeah, well, we need to do our homework, don't we?
Well,
you know, for once, we are actually going to do research for a podcast, not on the fly.
I prefer. Yeah.
There could be a huge Formula One breaking story between now and then. Teams might announce drivers. It's unlikely to announce drivers before Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
Normally arrive in Belgium with asking questions about contracts.
There was an interesting thing on the end of the Sky coverage for Hungary, if any of you saw it. No,
no, I did not.
Ted Kravitz's notebook. He was, before he started his notebook.
They had that much to say. I'm surprised it wasn't a ring binder.
Well, yeah. he turned around and said, just a quick note on Jenson Button. He said things. I can't remember what it was verbatim, but it went something along the lines of certain things have been discussed through this race. I can't really talk about what it is, but it's looking pretty certain that Alonso and Jensen will be in the car next year.
That would be. They deserve it, if nothing else. Because I'll talk about it more in the half term report.
He might
next
be
week.
If Williams did want Jensen. Depending on what they think next year's McLaren might be like, he might be a little upset they're taking him up on his option.
Possibly, yeah, you never know. But I'll mention more about it in the half-term report next week. But the McLaren chassis appears to be quite strong.
It's better than the engine.
It's well renowned in Formula One that chassis and the shape of the car and everything, the aerodynamic package is spot on. What's letting it down is that Honda power unit.
The funny thing is, we haven't noticed it before, but that we noticed it in Hungary.
Where aerodynamics and a good package that aren't necessarily power really count.
Yeah.
And well done to McLaren for that fifth and ninth place.
Oh, well, we're talking about McLaren. My favourite, I don't know, what is he, sporting director?
Eric Boulier.
Yeah. Did you hear what he was saying?
Pastry connoisseur.
Was he saying, this race would only have gotten better if I was given a cherry on top?
I know I need to stop because I'm going to swear. He turned around and said that his advice to Honda, it was in an interview last week, his advice for Honda was maybe they should start looking at poaching other key members from other teams.
How to win friends and influence people.
Exactly. And it's like, so is he trying to tell me that Honda, at no point when they've been talking about how they're going to develop the engine, have thought, you know, that guy who works for Ferrari is really good. Yeah. Should we hire him? No, we don't need him.
You know that guy who works for just
yeah.
you were gonna say no.
Yeah, so what's yeah? That guy who works for no.
I need to kill myself.
Lee has now been handed the beep machine.
Paul, you're there.
Moving swiftly on.
Oh dear.
I might need that actually.
Sorry mate, Android only.
Moving swiftly on, if we just move gently on to still keep it on something with Alonso, he despite his fifth place, he did come across a little bit annoyed this week.
Yeah, it was a Grand Prix weekend. Of course he came across as annoyed. He'd been sat in the car. That's another reason why he was annoyed.
Apparently, it's a very nice car to drive. It's just not very fast.
Did you hear what Jenson Button said about the car?
No.
They asked how the car was. He said, no, it's great. He said, the car is beautiful to drive around here. Unfortunately, everyone else's car seems to be a little bit more beautiful to drive.
I've got it. They're making up for the lack of testing time by making sure they're on track as much as possible and they get the most time out of every lap.
Yeah.
Yeah, possibly.
That's it, yeah.
That would have been funnier in, say, May.
Yeah. I'm interested to see these upgrades that Honda are bringing. I am. Like that's what I'm rubbing my hands for the end of August. I'm like, come on, I want to see what McLaren can do with their new engine.
All seven tokens, so pencil troll toppers and
they're bringing
a
new engine.
Darth Vader pest dispensers.
Will they need If they've brought a new engine, I don't understand how the power unit thing works there.
They've replaced pretty much everything.
But that must mean that if they've replaced pretty much everything, then that must mean that they have to fit a new power unit.
And they're allowed this within their new tokens.
They're allowed to do stuff to the engines, but right now they've got one of the old power units bolted in the back of it.
In Hungary they did, yeah.
So in Belgium... Does that not mean that they'll need to replace those engines? So will they not start with a penalty straight away?
Well, no, they get...
No, because they've used their tokens. It's a token thing rather than...
But isn't the tokens just to redesign the engine?
It's to redesign the whole powertrain.
Right, so instantly that means that then you can whack that in your car, and that essentially replaces what you've already got in the car.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Oh, yeah, I follow. Yeah, but yes. don't forget that they're allowed another engine change and not get penalised because they've already been penalised.
They used it in Hungary.
I've lost track, then.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. If when they replace their current engine that's sat in the back of the car right now...
Unless they put new components in.
Yeah.
New things.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But I don't know how it works because like you say, it's basically an entire new engine they've built.
Entirely new power unit. Yeah. The whole thing. The whole...
MGUH, MGUK. Yeah. Urs.
Which they've been working on for many, many months. And
well, it's the Urs that's been the real problem.
Have they removed the engine aids? I just mean like the aids to aid the engine. What do you think I meant?
No, I thought you meant those old slimming tablets that used to be on sale right up until about 1983, and then they got withdrawn from the market very quickly.
Do you hear what were they called?
AIDS. AIDS. Spelled with a Y.
Oh, no.
Have a look on YouTube. There's an advert. I lost weight thanks to AIDS. and then in about 1983, they suddenly dropped off the market. They had to relaunch the brand as something entirely different.
I lost weight thanks to AIDS. What did they call it? Worms?
SARS.
Back to Formula One.
Haas drivers.
Oh, Ferrari Rosso, Toro Rari.
Toro Haaso.
Toro Haaso.
That sounds a bit rude.
It does a bit. Ferrari 2, Ferrari harder this time, it's personal.
Almost. Open brackets, almost close brackets. Yeah. Sorry, just reminded of something which I'll explain later.
It's a bit of a shame, this, though, isn't it? The fact it's going to be... I mean, they keep saying that we're not a Ferrari B team.
It's over 80% Ferrari.
Yeah, it's... I mean, what's that... I mean, at least 5% must be the paint. Come on.
Which is probably Ferrari red.
Haas have bought...
Am I right in saying that Haas have bought Marussia's old factory?
Yes.
And they're operating out of Marussia's old factory. Manor are still operating out of their shed in Sheffield.
Yeah.
They are actually operating out of a unit in an industrial estate in Sheffield. And their logo is bright red. They haven't changed much of the interior paint from the factory when it was Marussia, which was red.
Mm-hmm.
They just haven't changed it. It's still red. Jean Haas did a press conference this week.
Sorry, he's changed
his
name, Gino Harsetti.
Gino Haaso. He had a black shirt on with red Haas Racing logo on it, yeah. And red sleeves.
But I almost
exactly the same as the old Marussia logo.
Yeah, no, but I don't think that's because I always thought Haas Racing colours were red and black anyway.
Yeah, but if they're red and black, what I'm saying is... they're pretty much going to look just like a Ferrari or a Marussia.
Oh, sorry,
the old Marussia, not the Manor Marussia, as they are now.
The Virgin Marussia.
The Virgin Marussia, yes.
Yeah.
The Russian Virgin Mary. The Virgin Marussia. So, yeah, anyway, their drivers...
That's
they've
like
been
a really bad cocktail.
They've actually... It does, yeah. Nobody wants a virgin cocktail. But wrong act now.
It's like the chicken Maldonado in Nando's.
It is. Nobody chicken have a chicken Maldonado and a virgin Marussia, please.
One doesn't turn up, the other comes on fire. and then it turns out to be a turkey.
So no, they had the, back to Haas.
I miss Dan.
So do I. So do I. Yeah, Haas drivers, they've basically confirmed that their shortlist for drivers is Esteban Gutierrez, currently at Ferrari as a test driver, test and reserve driver. Jean-Éric Vergne, currently a development driver at Ferrari, and Nico Hülkenberg, currently under contract at Force India. But why? I don't know why he would go all the way to Haas when, let's be honest, new teams don't have an awfully great record of performing well in early seasons of Formula 1.
But when you think about it, if it's right, if it's going to be an 80% of a Ferrari, I'd rather 80% of a Ferrari than 100% of a Force India.
Possibly.
Yeah, but the other 20% is the driver.
Well, and so it would be Hülkenberg and a Ferrari, essentially. And I'm wondering if the reason for putting Hülkenberg's name in there is if you do well on a Haas, you might get upgraded to Ferrari.
I don't know.
But it does appear that they are using as much Ferrari as they possibly can.
Now with 20% extra Ferrari.
Yeah, now you've got to wonder where this leaves Alexander Rossi, who has been up for the seat for the whole time since the rumour started going around about, 2013, that Haas was interested in a team?
Haas test driver, maybe?
He was Marussia's test driver like 2 years ago.
Yeah, then again, if Haas are nicking Ferrari's test drivers, he becomes Ferrari driver number 3.
The thing is, he's not going to win the GP2 championship, so he can still drive GP2 next year to keep his hand in.
Maybe, it's possible.
I'd be more interested where Stoffel Van Dorn's going to go.
Johnny Cicotta, maybe.
Stoffel Van Dorn, Johnny Cicotta, no, good lord. Cicotta and Maldonado in that new Romanian team whenever they appear. What happened to them? They were called, what were they called? Corsa Rosso or something?
Something like that.
That was going to be junior Ferrari team, wasn't it?
There were rumours at one point. And there was the, what was the other one that kept saying they were going to turn up? I think they were Croatian, was it?
I don't know.
It was some mad billionaire that tried to, to buy his way in the second.
This was during the time, wasn't it, where they started talking about budget cuts and stuff like this, and that. But some accountant in a back room had managed to get the price of running a Formula One team down to £8 and a Twix.
And Maldonado went, "I'm in."
For those that haven't worked it out tonight's podcast is brought to you by just Maldonado's, I wouldn't say comedy of errors, but just comedy.
I love the man there.
I know that we Brits always go for the underdog, but that is under so many dogs that the RSPCA are going
to
get.
Oh, it's not the underdogness I'm attracted to, it's the danger.
All the girls love a bad boy.
Oh, God,
and he is terrible.
Swoon.
Swoon. Oh, dear. So, I'm... Going back to Stoffel Van Dorn, he can't possibly do another year in GP2, can he?
No, he wins,
no chance.
What if he wins GP2?
Yeah.
You're not allowed?
No, good point. But I can't see where... I've said before, I could see Kevin Magnussen getting pushed out of the way. Stoffel Van Dorn has to go to Formula 1 somehow.
Van Dorn is a better driver than Magnussen.
Van Dorn is a better driver than most drivers in Formula 1.
Well, yeah.
I've been watching this year's GP2. I'll be surprised. He is fantastic. He drives an awful lot like... He's got the smoothness and the fluidity of Jenson Button.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very similar in style to Jenson Button.
With Hamilton speed.
With Hamilton speed, yeah. He's ridiculously quick.
Yeah, he's good, like...
makes it like you think, well, there's no way you can keep those tyres lasting for up to halfway through the race, and it gets halfway through the race, everyone else pits, Van Dorn still doing the same time.
I tell you what,
on the tyres that he was originally started the race on, may as well pit because it's part of the rules.
I still think the proper duel in GP2 at the minute, if I was in a Formula 1 team and I was looking at young drivers to sign, it's Alex Lynn
is he did very well. I don't know if anybody saw the Goodwood up the hill climb, mm-hmm, Formula 1 thing that they did. He drove the 1990 Williams up the hill. and he did very, very well actually for, you know, such a young lad in such an old car.
Yeah.
He was being raced before he was born. But
only cars like Alex Lynn, because he tweeted us once.
Yeah, Alex Lynn's a good man.
Saying that though, I mean, how many times we've seen it? You sort of think in your head it would do, but just being quick essentially being really good in GP2 doesn't guarantee a competitive Formula One driver.
James Calado.
James. I don't know.
Give he was chance. All right. He was okay.
But but I mean, like, we've had people come through GP2 before.
Mm. I've been amazing.
Yeah, a bit amazing GP2. Oh, there you go. What's his cock? The French fella.
What's his cock?
No, French guy. Frenchy.
Bourdais?
No.
Sarrazin?
No. Crashy Frenchy.
Grosjean?
Yes.
I think what we are going to have to do at some point, that actually means putting a new page up on the website that isn't a podcast, is we're going to have to do a translation guide, everyone's nicknames.
Sashi Frenchy. Grosjean.
He ripped GP2 apart.
And now he rips Lotuses apart.
Yeah, and he's shit.
only since he became a dad.
No, he was pretty shit before that. He was shit in 2009 when he took Jensen out at the Spa in the first corner and with Hamilton.
Nearly killed Alonso
a couple of years later.
Yeah, in fact, isn't he single-handedly responsible for this lower nose rule?
Yeah.
In fact, he passed to Maldonado before Maldonado was Maldonadoing, really, didn't he? Let's be honest.
I know if our friend Andy Klukas, if he's listening to this right now, he'll be hating this because he has a small part of like his lower groin devoted to Roman. No.
Does he have RG8 tattooed on it?
And possibly.
Yeah.
I've never understood his fetish, his Grosjean fetish.
I think it's because when he... Didn't Andy Klukas say that Romain Grosjean was going to win the world championship?
Yes, he did.
In his first year at Lotus.
That's why he's not on a podcast.
We've just seen a video where Eddie Jordan said that Pastor Maldonado could win a championship.
He actually said he is going to be a force for the future. Yeah, and he's right.
People are going to start paying him serious money.
Yeah.
to go stay away.
So I was sat in this restaurant and I ordered a pizza and Pastor Maldonado walked over and I gave him a tenner. I'm like, just don't sit near me. I like my face the way it is.
You couldn't get it much wrong, could you? He's going to be a force to be reckoned with in the future. Teams are going to be looking to pay him serious money. He's a rubbish Formula One driver and he pays millions for his own seat.
Yeah. Thanks, Venezuela.
Now, come on, Lee, you've just bought a couch.
I didn't, did I? You still sat in the old one.
Well, no, but you don't get them straight away. They've got to...
No, it did.
I bought a couch.
I went to look at
it. It hasn't been delivered yet.
Our new one's got delivered months ago.
Oh.
That's because we ordered them even more months ago.
Oh, right.
And, yeah,
welcome to this week's Couchcast.
Well, we've talked
this
about...
week?
We've talked about seat fitting.
Photo by that Roman guy.
What else have we got on the list of doom?
Not an awful lot, really. We've got Captain Obvious Award.
Captain Obvious Award.
There is a Captain Obvious Award for quotes made in the Hungarian Grand Prix or post Hungarian Grand Prix.
Okay, let me bring that up on the.
You're just pulling up the complete quotes.
Yeah, let's have a look. I shall just fill for time.
I feel a bit lonely.
It's alright, I'll be there in a second. Oh, it was on the FIA website, wasn't it?
FIA's website is fantastic for quotes. We like the FIA.
Yes, it was the post-Hungarian.
We don't like the FIA.
No.
Press conferences. While I'm looking for that, we can obviously talk about the looking at the Azerbaijan circuit, which we all thought was going to be a street circuit, and so did Azerbaijan, and as it turns out, it's Herman Tilke.
Yeah, he apparently has taken hold of the pathways and the roads around the European Games site, much in the same vein as the Sochi track in Russia, and will has redesigned and have rebuilt the course around the park where the games were held.
So are we just going to have another
bland race?
Yeah, another procession,
Putin parade.
Oh, we have that at every race.
We do now. Yeah, thanks for that, Vladimir Putin. He has a legacy in Formula One. Vladimir Putin has a legacy in Formula One. There's something very, very wrong with that. But the FIA have gone to Baku to check the circuit and check that it's fit for Formula One purpose. And Bernie Eccleston, also known as the Demon Headmaster, has told them not to leave until they have approved it. He hasn't told them that at all.
No,
I just made that up completely. No, I actually stole Paul's joke from before the podcast was recorded. But yeah, that's pretty much what's going on.
Is Herman Tilke ruining Formula One?
He's not making it any better, is he?
Well, no.
He's got, like I said this before, he's designed some okay circuits, some good circuits, but...
But if he's doing it like Sochi...
Stop having a monopoly on them all.
But if he's doing it like Sochi around the Games Arena...
Boring.
And Sochi was just a procession last year.
Yeah.
You know, is Baku going to be, well, about as thrilling as... Did anyone watch the European Games?
I don't know. See,
it wasn't even a sport. It was like the last day at school where you bring your ball in and people have a game and then
aerobics is not a medal-winning event.
No.
Pairs aerobics. It was like solo synchronized swimming. Synchronized to what? You know, that was like ice skating on a hot day.
I'd be down for that.
Ice skating on a hot day.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. The thing is, like, you've got the
outdoor ice skating in June.
The Russian Grand Prix, though, that was after US, wasn't it? Obviously, so he's got.
Was it possibly?
Yeah, he's got. He's gone in a because we've had one Russian Grand Prix. We've had a few.
Oh, see, no, yeah, but US, yeah, actually, in the calendar, yeah,
yeah, but the.
The US Grand Prix has always been pretty good.
Yeah, but it's a great circuit. I'd actually argue it's one of the best circuits on the calendar.
Well, it's best every corner on a corner at another track of circuit of the Americas, hasn't
but
it?
Do you know what the thing is, right? He's obviously thought, like, Formula One's going back to America, I really need to try here. I need to do something, and I need to do something that's going to keep an American audience entertained too. You know, so he's really put some thought into it, which suggests, A... either he just doesn't put thought into the other tracks he builds, you know, or the same amount of passion, say, mm-hmm. or he got it really right in America and then promptly left the room and learned absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I mean, I think he designed the track in Mokpo in Korea as well, which is still to this day, even though we don't go there anymore, a terrible circuit.
Yeah, it is.
Martin Brundle got it spot on when he said it's three long straights joined by a series of continuous corners.
The only good thing about that that circuit is the last corner. You know when they come around by the pit straight,
yeah.
And then it sort of throws you into that chicane.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's a really cool part of a track. But
a circuit should be more than one good corner.
Oh, yeah, of course, it's
boring first turn, massive long straight, boring second turn, massive long straight, cacophony of turns back to the first straight.
Makes you wonder whether it was built with DRS in mind.
Possibly.
Could well have been. Although, that was a long time before DRS. Korea was even before the F-duct.
Not sure, Korea was 2009, 2010 maybe?
Yeah.
About the time of the F-duct.
Yeah, about the time. Yeah.
But anyway,
I found
my Captain Obvious stuff now.
Okay, Captain Obvious.
Captain Obvious. Okay, we have two nominations tonight. I will give the quotes, and then I will give the quotees after I have given both quotes out, and we will take a vote.
Okay, so first quote, please, Paul.
First quote. It was a tough race, and the stewards were certainly very strict today. Okay, that's quote one.
Quote one.
Quote one. Quote two. The strategy was working well with the softer tyres until the penalties affected our race.
Okay.
I'm seeing
quote
a pattern.
Quote one was from Pastor Maldonado.
Ah, star of the podcast.
Quote two was from Pastor Maldonado.
they are both quite obvious. The stewards were... What was it?
The stewards were very strict. No, you drove like a plank.
Yeah. Well, there were other people, but I didn't see everyone getting pulled over for doing something wrong. So, yeah, sorry, no. Pastor, you got that wrong.
I'm going to play devil's advocate, actually, thinking about this. Because, yeah, he might have drove like an absolute idiot, but he wasn't anywhere near as spectacularly dangerous...
Spectacularly.
Massively.
Dangerous as he can be.
Well, you know why? Because he spent most of his time being penalised.
Yeah, well, yeah, but yeah. That hasn't stopped him before.
Regardless, there's a winner nobody, of his Captain Obvious Award.
Maldonado has won something.
Nobody went on fire and nobody went upside down.
Not in the race.
Not in the race.
Might have happened at the after party.
Yeah.
Although, to be honest, when we were doing the live blog, I was having to type that fast because there was that much going on. There was smoke pouring out of my keyboard.
I gave up typing at one point.
I noticed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Maldonado takes Captain Obvious this week for being obviously very bad.
Well, with a quick note on Pastor Maldonado, Pastor Disaster Predictor.
Every corner, every lap, everybody wins.
Yeah, every corner, every lap. The entire race
was just one
the
long.
The city of Budapest got Maldonado.
Jesus. Devastation hasn't been seen since the Second World War.
I think we've covered everything that we're not going to get sued for this week.
Cheers, Jack.
So, we'll be back next week with a half-term report on what the teams have done so far. The good, the bad.
And the ugly.
And the Maldonado. And the ugly. We've got nothing to rip him apart from between now and this time.
Don't speak too soon.
I've just done a complete Murray Walker, haven't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm the completely clear track except for the car in front.
You know how Formula One drivers and just racing drivers in general, they have a tendency to gravitate towards becoming helicopter pilots.
That's oh no!
Terrifying prospect, isn't it?
We'll leave you with that thought. As they say on Crime Watch, don't have nightmares.
We'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night.